Hey there, I'm Rachel.
And I'm Jessica, and this is All Things Sensory by Harkla. Together, we're on a mission to help children, families, therapists, and educators live happy, healthy lives.
We dive into all things sensory, special needs, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, and so much more. In each episode, we share raw, honest, fun ideas and strategies for everyone to implement into daily life.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey there, before we hop into today's episode, we wanted to let you know about our back to school giveaway that's going on right now.
We are giving away a ton of free Harkla products that will make this school year the best year yet.
We'll have three different winners and they will be drawn on August 15th.
If you want a chance at winning some free Harkla sensory products like our compression swing or our weighted compression vest, then head over to harkla.co/school.
That's harkla.co/school, S-C-H-O-O-L.
You can also find the link in the description.
Okay, on with the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of All Things Sensory by Harkla. This is episode 165, and you're listening to Rachel and
Jessica. We're so happy that you're here, and we're really excited to talk about this topic that we're about to talk about.
Yes. So it's a little bit different. We are going to talk about sensory milestones and expectations based on ages. So most of you are familiar with developmental milestones, but not a lot of people talk about what to expect sensory-wise at different ages and milestones.
Right, because developmental milestones are important, like rolling, crawling, walking, clapping, pointing, all those things. They're all very important, but there's more than just those motor milestones that are important to development.
Yeah. So if parents were aware of these sensory milestones and expectations to look for in the first year of life, what would happen?
I mean, everyone would just be probably, I don't know.
I think people would just be more aware that they have sensory systems.
Yes, there we go. Okay, I think, good call.
I think it would be so cool if people knew just how impactful the sensory system was, and more than just playing in a ball pit or getting messy or I don't know. What else yeah. Do people normally think of when they think of like sensory for babies?
I don't know, because we do get a lot of questions about, oh, I love your page on Instagram, but what do I do with my baby, my infant?
Yeah.
And we always say do all of the same things. You just modify them down and make sure they're safe and they're not eating all the little things. But, you know, we all have sensory systems, and so it's a lot simpler to give babies sensory input than we think.
Mm-hmm.
We make it pretty complicated, but it's actually pretty simple.
Yeah. So last month, we actually put in the Harkla Sensory Club a sensory diet for babies. And it was just six different simple activities to go through to give your baby sensory input throughout the day. It wasn't specified to anyone specific. It was just, if you have a baby, these are some activities, some general activities that you can try and that will be beneficial.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about the sensory system and what that is, what it means. So we really like the STAR Institute.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't checked them out, get online and just Google STAR Institute. But they talk about sensory processing and how we feel. It's how we use what we sense to make sense of the world around us. And everyone has a sensory system. Everyone processes sensory input. And the sensory messages that we receive from our bodies and the world around us, we respond to those messages every single second
mm-hmm.
that we're alive.
Yeah. I just think it's so interesting that people don't realize that sensory processing and integration is foundational to development, daily functioning skills, participation in activities, learning, academics, and just overall psychological well-being. I mean, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't have a functioning sensory system that is modulated, things are going to be wonky for us.
They're going to be super wonky,
yeah.
Which is what we see in our kids with sensory processing challenges. You know, their sensory systems are super wonky.
They're wonky, yeah. That's how we're going to describe it today.
Wonky.
For layman's terms.
Please don't cancel us for using the word wonky. Thank you. Okay, moving on.
Okay. So now that we kind of understand what exactly sensory processing is, what it looks like, let's chat about why it's important to start these sensory integration activities from the very start.
Well, first, neurosensory development occurs while the baby is still in the womb. Mm-hmm. You know, as they're growing in the womb, they're starting to hear sounds, they're starting to move around, they're experiencing a lot of vestibular input when, you know, their mom who's carrying them is walking and sitting and laying down. So they're already developing their sensory systems in the womb.
Yeah. And going along with that, they're hearing noises and they're feeling, you know, you tap against your belly or someone else tap against your belly and they're hearing fireworks going off and they are working on almost understanding the world from the inside out.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And then when a baby is born, they're exposed to all of this new sensory information. They're exposed to gravity for the first mm-hmm. time, to visual input, new tactile sensations, definitely new auditory sensations, because I'm sure that it sounds a lot different than in the womb.
Yeah. New smells, mm-hmm. new tastes, new reflexes. We've talked about reflexes a lot, but all of those experiences begin in utero. And I think it's so important to realize that babies come from being upside down in the womb, mm-hmm. right? They're most of the time. Right. And so when they come out and when they're born, when they're just placed on their back, when they're just carried in one position, we're not stimulating that vestibular system for one, you know, like they were in the womb. So I think that's one of the things we need to keep in mind is that babies are getting sensory input within the womb. So we need to continue with that once they're born.
Yeah. And I think when I think about it, I think about the first year of life and how much is involved in that first year of life. Think of a baby who can't even lift its head up mm-hmm. when it's born to, by the first year of life, they're probably walking. They're probably starting to make a lot of noises and babbling and laughing, and they're coordinating their hands together and, yeah. you know, potentially self-feeding. Like, there is a lot that a baby learns how to do in those first 12 months. And so we have to think about their sensory system and how much their sensory development happens in that first year as well.
Absolutely. We did find an article that says how, well, documented that early childhood experiences were just crucial determinant of health, like Jessica said, and identifying these sensory processing challenges as early as possible and providing those appropriate interventions that influence the nature of those early childhood experiences can improve the developmental outcomes. So we need to be targeting the sensory system in order to facilitate development, not just working on the physical milestones.
Yeah.
Or cognitive milestones yeah. for that as well.
Well, and I think when we target the sensory system, we're inadvertently also going to target the motor system and the cognitive system. Like mm-hmm. it's all connected. So if we can just look at the sensory system, it's going to, you know, expand and open up from there.
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay, so let's break down each sensory system and chat about what you can see, what you can expect, and then some red flags to look for.
And what you're here for are the activities to do.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Okay, so the first one is going to be auditory, the auditory system. Mm-hmm. So from birth to 3 months, a baby is going to prefer the sound of human voice. Their hearing is about the same as an adult's, unless there's an underlying, you know, medical, physical mm-hmm. hearing condition. They're going to recognize the voice of their primary caregiver, and they're going to start making cooing noises, maybe some other little baby, those cute little baby noises.
Grunts and
yep.
silly things like that.
Yep. And then they're also going to be startled by loud, unexpected noises, which is related to the motor reflex.
So then from 3 to 6 months, typically we'll see an understanding of tone of voice. They may start imitating sounds and noises they hear. they're probably going to start understanding the words you say, and they're going to watch your mouth move as you talk.
And then those last 6 months, from 6 to 12 months, they're going to start understanding specific language, and especially the word no. They're going to respond and turn their head to the sound of their name. They're going to start their first words like mama, dada, baba, like those repetitive consonant vowel sounds. And then they might even start dancing to music.
I know Trip loves to dance right now.
As he should.
So cute.
As he should. So that's all within the auditory system.
Yes. All right. So some red flags that we might want to keep an eye out for is if your baby does not start turning their head when they hear noises.
Another big one is that they don't seem to notice loud or unexpected noises. So maybe they don't, maybe their moral reflex doesn't kick in with a loud noise and they don't startle to a loud noise.
And then if they can't imitate noises and watch your mouth and try to move their mouth and make noises and imitate your noises, that can also be something that we want to look into.
Now, I think it's important to remember that if you don't see some of these things happening with your infant, that it's a really good idea to get their hearing checked, because that can identify any underlying cause. Mm-hmm. And if their hearing test comes out that their hearing is, you know, normal or typical, there could be some sensory processing challenges related to the auditory system.
Mm-hmm. So maybe they hear a sound, but they have a delayed response to turning their head. Or it takes them a while to really imitate those noises, and maybe they struggle with just processing what they're hearing and then making an appropriate response.
Yeah, exactly. So some of our favorite activities to do with infants of all ages is going to be music.
Yes.
Listen to some music. This can be, you know, your favorite rap song. This can be...
I like big butts and I can't lie.
You know, I mean, babies love that song, okay? There's proof on TV that babies love that song, okay? If you don't know what we're talking about, I'm very sorry.
Oh, no.
But yeah, just music in general, and dance to music, sing to music. Music is just such a great emotional connection activity, yes. I feel like.
And going along with that, we love interactive songs. So anytime you can do hand motions or finger motions or move their whole body, like going on a bear hunt or Itsy Bitsy Spider.
Wheels on the bus.
All of those are fantastic. So they can not only see you, but they can hear you and they can watch those movements and kind of recognize what's expected and what's coming.
Yeah. If you've been with us for a while, you know that we love the listening program by Advanced Brain Technologies, and they do have a program for babies, so that can be something to check out as well.
Yep. We also love doing the metronome with babies. So we'll set this to the beat of mom's heartbeat when they're first born, because if you think about it, I mean, we just had George on the podcast talking about rhythms.
Yeah. And which, if you haven't listened to that episode, you really should.
Yeah. And a while ago, we talked with April, who shared about the interactive metronome and mm-hmm. those benefits from the metronome as well. But we are all based on rhythm and time. And
yeah, our heartbeat has a rhythm
yes,
to it.
Babies in the womb can hear and feel that heartbeat and the blood whooshing around and tapping and moving. And so that rhythm is just an innate part of babies and development.
Of life, even.
Survival. Yeah. So setting the metronome either to 60 beats per minute, or, you know, find out what your heart rate is, moms, dads, and turn it on to match the heartbeat as well.
Yeah, and you don't actually have to do like anything specific with the metronome. As the baby gets older and starts learning how to clap, you can start practicing clapping with the metronome. But just having that metronome on, like Rachel said, to the same rhythm as the heartbeat of the caregiver is going to just be really calming to that baby.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. The next thing you're going to do is make noises around babe, like vacuuming, using the blender, sneezing.
We get a lot of people asking us how to help their children who have auditory sensitivities and who have meltdowns with these loud noises. Mm-hmm. And I do think that this starts in infancy of exposing your infant to these loud noises.
Yes. And I like to let baby know that it's going to happen before it's going to happen. So, you know, they understand more than they can express. So if I let them know, hey, I'm going to turn the vacuum on, it's going to be loud, and then have them help, have them push the button with you, have them, you know, vacuum their legs up so they can, you know, have a funny reaction. Yep. and laugh and smile, and they can sense if you are uncomfortable or if you are afraid that they're going to cry. They can sense that, and mm-hmm. then you're almost teaching them that
it is scary.
Yeah, that they should be scared, and it's not a good noise.
And I think also that you can expect a reaction, especially the first couple of times with these loud noises, expect a negative reaction. But your response to that reaction is really going to help your child to provide an adaptive response the next time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was loud. Yeah, that scared you a little bit. Sometimes it scares me too. But we need to blend our food. We need to vacuum and pick up the crumbs on the ground.
Yep, and then you move on. Mm-hmm. All right, should we jump to the visual system?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, so around 1 month, they can see about 12 inches in front of them. They enjoy looking at faces, and they love those high contrast images, black and white pictures, things with a lot of contrast. They can see those the best.
By 2 months, your baby can visually follow a toy when it's moved slowly in front of their face. Now, I'm not saying like right in front of their face, but, you know, within 12 inches of their face.
By about 3 to 4 months, they are going to be able to focus on an object or on your face when you're smiling, like 1 to 2 yards away. And they can see a full range of colors at 3 to 4 months as well.
Yep. And by 7 to 12 months, their vision has pretty much fully developed. They're making eye contact. They're looking around at their environment, especially looking at people, looking at moving objects, looking at things that make noise.
Maybe they're starting to point at objects that they see in their environment.
Yes.
So some red flags to be cautious of is when they are young, they're not able to track those objects, or their eyes aren't working together while you're moving an object for them to track, or they aren't converging or bringing their eyes almost like cross-eyed mm-hmm. when you're bringing an object closer to them.
Mm-hmm. One thing to really keep an eye on is the lazy eye, because this can be a sign of poor muscles in the eyes. Mm-hmm.
They might prefer fast motion or colorful TV shows rather than, you know, just playing with blocks on the floor. Mm-hmm.
They might prefer looking at spinning items like fans or wheels, or they might intentionally spin things and just get like hyper focused on those spinning, moving objects.
Now, keep in mind that it's normal for babies to check these out and learn how things spin and how they move and watch them and play with them. We're saying a red flag could be when that's all the child does. They don't make eye contact. They don't engage with you. They are just so focused on those fast motion TV shows, the sensory TV, which is terrible.
Wait, what's the sensory TV?
Oh, you don't have a baby right now.
Huh? I don't. What's the sensory TV?
It's like a black screen with like these vegetable characters that just like bounce and dance and move to music. And
why?
I don't know. I don't know who started it or why they started it, but they're obviously marketing really well because people think that it's beneficial for their babies, and it's not.
We do not recommend that.
No. So anyways, just know that if your child, like Trip right now, he'll spin the wheels on his truck, he'll watch the fan, but it's not all the time. He can pull his attention away from it. Yes. He makes eye contact. So I think it's important to note that just because they're learning about these things and engaging with them, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a red flag. It's just if it's all-consuming.
Yes, that's a really good point. I'm glad you brought that up.
Thanks. It helps having a kid right now and doing this episode.
For sure. For sure. So some of our favorite activities to stimulate and develop the visual system are those high contrast black and white cards or books for the babies. I think Love Every has some really good ones.
Mm-hmm. Mirror play is great. Grabbing a full length mirror or just like a little baby mirror and putting those up, putting mirrors in the car. mirrors are just great for everything, not just that visual system.
Oh, for sure. So reading books and specifically pointing and touching the items in the book while you're reading. So if it's like a little farm animal book, you're naming the cow while you point and touch to the cow, and you do this enough times, baby is going to imitate you and also point and touch.
It's almost like the normal things that you do as a parent, just modifying them and making a couple of changes to really target those sensory systems. Yeah. You know, that's what we're teaching.
Yeah, that's all we want. Yeah. That's all we want. That's all we want.
Stacking blocks, doing puzzles, doing peg puzzles, whatever age your child is, modifying that, but modeling how to play with those activities will be really helpful.
This is probably, I think, one of the, this is what I think is one of the most important things for baby development, is going through your environment, going outside at the grocery store, at home, in the car, and pointing and naming objects in the environment so yeah. that baby is learning about all the different things that are around them, and they can also point and name objects in their environment to learn about them.
Yeah, going along with that, you know, the heck with the toys. We just should tell people, take your kids to the grocery store, mm-hmm. to the hardware store, yep. restaurants. Just take your babies out so yep. they can see everything. Yeah. And, you know, the world is a little overstimulating.
There's a lot out there.
Yeah. So having them check the scene and look at everything while they're young, they're going to learn to process and filter out unnecessary visual input that maybe isn't important as they grow up.
So really quick before we move on to the next one, I just have to say Rachel and Daniel did this so good, and this is a great example. So when we were in McCall a while back, right, and we went to a restaurant, went to a brewery, and we're sitting there, and Trip was kind of like in and out of his stroller while we were mm-hmm. eating, and you guys put him in his stroller for a couple minutes while you're eating, and he was kind of starting to get upset, and I don't remember if it was your idea or Daniel's idea. I'd be really proud of Daniel if yeah. it was his idea, but I don't remember. But you guys turned his stroller around so he was actually facing the restaurant yes. so that he could see the whole restaurant, and he just like, he calmed down and just like watched everything around him.
Yeah.
It's like just such a simple trick. Like, you can go ahead and eat your dinner while baby is turned around watching the restaurant and everyone's happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forgot about that.
I just thought that.
I'm glad you brought that
up. I don't know why I remember that. I just remember it and I was like, dang, that was a great idea.
Yeah, thank you. We'll give Daniel credit for that one.
Okay, we could do it. Yeah, he's learning. He's doing so good.
Yes, he's a sensory dad.
Yeah, he better be.
Hey, 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 we hope you are enjoying the episode. We just want to give you a quick reminder about the back to school giveaway.
When you enter the giveaway, you're going to get a chance to win some of our favorite products that help with focus, attention, and just overall sensory integration in the school.
Head to harkla.co/school to enter or check the show notes for the link.
Okay, let's get back to the show.
All right, let's talk about the tactile system now. This is your sense of touch. You have tactile receptors all over your body, your skin, fingers, your in your mouth, your head, your mm-hmm. ears, your elbows, everywhere.
Everywhere. And babies are typically born with a pretty well-developed tactile system already. So being able to tolerate touching things, tolerating different textures of clothing, different textures on the floor, people touching them.
Yeah. Being held, being mm-hmm. rocked, being squeezed and hugged.
Yeah. I mean, we live in a very tactile world because, yeah, we're always touching something. And so babies are always, whether, you know, they have clothing on them, whether it's just a diaper, whether they're totally naked, but they're laying on the floor, whether in the water, mm-hmm. always touching something.
I think that's important to recognize is that wearing clothes is a tactile activity in and of itself because our bodies are made to be able to tune out that unnecessary input. So our body can say, I'm wearing clothes, I'm safe, I don't need to have a fight or flight reaction.
So I can focus on what else I need to focus on.
Exactly. But for kiddos who maybe struggle or adults who struggle with this tactile sense, making sure that they can tolerate clothing without having that adverse reaction. And so some people, you put them in a shirt that has a tag on it and they can't tune out the fact that tag is itching their back and they can't focus, they can't learn, they can't move, they can't play. So that's like where our tactile system came from. That's what it was designed to do. So when we have these red flags, that's so important to keep in mind.
Yeah, so that first red flag is going to be not being able to tolerate clothing.
Mm-hmm. Going along with that, avoidance of messy play. So whether they don't like to get messy or whether they don't have the opportunity to get messy, two things to keep in mind. It is just so important to be able to tolerate getting messy. And we've said this before, but kiddos will not tolerate new textures in their mouth unless they can tolerate on their skin, on their hands. So if we've got picky eaters, families dealing with that, then take it back to messy play and help them process that input on their hands and then work on the tactile processing in their mouth.
Yeah, mic drop. So some other red flags for the tactile system might be either your baby resists being held or they are only calm when they are being held. Those are both signs that there might be some tactile dysfunction.
These kiddos might be anxious or avoidant of crawling or walking on different surfaces, different textures like grass, sand, concrete, hard floor, carpet.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I have to throw in my two cents because I have a kid doing this right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he, my little boy, who's 10 months today, actually.
Oh my gosh.
I know. He's a crawling champ, but he will start to bear crawl. Or like Mowgli crawl, as Samantha says.
Yeah, that monkey Mowgli crawl.
If he's on like a hard surface or grass or sand. But eventually, once he modulates that input, he'll go down onto his knees and he'll crawl hands and knees like we want.
Hint, hint, exposure. But we're still talking about red flags.
Yes, okay.
So the last one is going to be stress during bath time. Or significant adverse reactions with water splashing, water on their face. Those are also signs of tactile dysfunction.
Yep. Okay, let's do some activities.
So the first one was exposure.
Yep.
Exposure, exposure, exposure.
All the textures you can and to their entire body, not just their hands.
Okay, so sensory bins, messy play. Do messy play with food items like yogurt, applesauce, that kind of stuff. And then also do it with other items like shaving cream.
Easter grass.
Mud.
Water. Mm-hmm. Ice cubes. Yep. Grass.
Anything you can think of can be turned into messy play and a sensory bin.
Yep. Just go to the bulk section at a store like Winco and grab some random things in bulk and make it into a sensory bin.
Yeah.
Okay, deep touch massage. Babies love and are so calmed by massage. It's not the type of input that is usually noxious to a sensory system for anyone.
Also doing play activities with light touch. So this is going to be like tickling with feathers or light touch with different types of cloths, that kind of thing. Those light touch activities really stimulate the tactile system.
But if your child is getting overstimulated by that light touch, which they probably will, follow up with that deep touch pressure, massage, those heavy work activities to help regulate their nervous system.
Yep. Mentioned this a little bit already, but messy play during feeding. Don't be afraid to let your baby get messy while they're learning how to self-feed. That's going to just help them have a better food rapport overall.
Yep. And then during bath time or water play, if you go to the swimming pool, really work on improving tolerance of water being poured down over their head or splashing. Let them splash. You know, we don't want them to have an adverse reaction when water hits them in the face or when we're washing their hair and water gets poured over their face, which they will have a reaction. I mean, it's kind of an uncomfortable thing, but just making sure that your reaction is calm and positive so they realize that it's okay.
And I mean, I do think, you know, if your child is having a really significant reaction to this, you can try some strategies of like, at least in the bath, washing with a cloth instead of splashing water, or get like a bath visor that they can wear to keep the water out of their eyes. But
do they make bath visors?
Totally.
Really?
Yeah, like the little plastic ones.
Oh.
You know, Logan never liked taking a shower for a long time because he didn't like the water in his face. Mm. So we kept trying it and I helped him a lot and now he tolerates it. Good. So it, you know, a big thing is just that consistent exposure.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Okay. All right, should we move on to the vestibular system?
I think this is my favorite system, I've decided.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, so 0 to 6 months, let's talk about how baby can sleep without being rocked, swung, bounced, or just they don't require movement to be able to go to sleep.
Yep, they can tolerate car rides. They can tolerate you putting them in a baby carrier and walking around, so they can tolerate that movement.
They can also tolerate stroller rides. That's a big one, too. Mm-hmm. And so good to get out for everyone's sanity.
Yeah, that's true. Also, between birth and 6 months, your baby's going to start rolling in both directions.
Yep. So not only from tummy to back and back to tummy, but rolling to their left and rolling to their right. Yep. So make sure you're keeping track of that as well. And they're going to tolerate being placed on their tummy, on their sides, and on their back during play and during ADLs, like diaper changes or getting dressed or eating. You have to be tilted back to nurse or drink a bottle.
So then between 6 and 12 months, your baby is going to start pushing up onto their arms while they're on their tummy, as well as will begin rocking in quads. So that is on their hands and knees and kind of rocking back and forth.
From there, they'll begin crawling, army crawling. Then they're going to really perfect that crawling pattern with that asymmetrical left-right movement.
On their hands and knees.
Yes. If it is not that perfect crawling pattern, if they've got one leg up, if they, keep their fingers curled, if they are externally rotating or internally rotating their wrists, if anything just doesn't look right, then that is something to be aware of, which we'll talk about.
Yeah. Continuing 6 to 12 months, they're going to start tall kneeling, pulling to stand, cruising along furniture, and then potentially walking. Yeah. Some babies don't walk by 12 months, but they should show these other signs of pre-walking.
Mm-hmm. And kind of going along with the tactile system, but babies will be able to tolerate tipping their head back in the bathtub. So as they get a little bit older, they can tip their head back and they're in control of their body. But, with the vestibular system, it's really just all about movement and balance and visuals. Like, it kind of brings everything together. What's the word that I'm thinking of? Muscle tone, mm-hmm. Postural control. We want to see all of those skills start to develop.
Yeah, and kind of going along with that, we just listed off a whole bunch of typical developmental milestones, but we're talking about the vestibular system, and that's because that vestibular system is related to movement and milestones. I mean, mm-hmm. It's all related. So that
it is.
That's why we mentioned those, because they're part of the vestibular system.
Yep. All right, so some red flags for the vestibular system. We might see motion sickness, car sickness, severe adverse reactions during car rides. Mm-hmm. And cars are hard because there's a lot going on. But if you can rule out some of the other challenges and recognize that it really is the movement from the car, then that could be related to the vestibular system.
Also, if your baby is unable to fall asleep and stay asleep without constant movement.
If the child dislikes swings, so when they're sitting up and you put them in the park swing, 6 to 7 months, and they are extremely uncomfortable, not only the first time, because the first time they might be a little bit uncomfortable, and that's expected, but if you continue to practice and practice and practice, and they're screaming and uncomfortable and, clenching, and that's more of a red flag.
Yeah, for sure. If babe's not rolling by 6 to 7 months,
yep. If they're struggling to visually track items, because that visual system is directly connected to the vestibular system.
And if there's no eye contact, because again, like Rachel just said, vision is directly related to the vestibular system.
Yeah. And you can even see connections too with, if they're not turning their head to a sound that they hear, because mm-hmm. they have to rotate and move and follow that with that vestibular system mm-hmm. with what they hear.
I was just about to take a side note and say, if you're a new listener and you're like, what the heck is the vestibular system? I don't understand. The vestibular system is located in our inner ear canals, which is why it's related to that head movement. But also, we do have a podcast on the vestibular system to explain it more. So go check that out.
We actually have a podcast on all of these sensory systems separated out. So you can scroll back a few and find those, and that will be helpful for you.
Okay, so for your babies, what do you want to do to activate and help that vestibular system?
Play, move. Yep.
Less container time and more floor play during waking hours.
Can we take a little side note and share the conversation that we had the other day about sensory seekers and babies and how we can see those sensory seeking behaviors in kiddos who aren't in containers?
We can, but I don't remember that conversation.
Oh, really? Maybe it's because I had it with my mom the other day, too. Because she's like, oh, man, Tripp's so busy. I'm like, well, yeah, he's never been contained. You know, he's never been in like a play structure where he can't move and play. He's always been on the floor and that's where he's happiest, and he seeks that movement and that play because that's what he knows.
I think Logan is the same way because mm-hmm. we really didn't have containers. We also didn't have we had a little playpen, but mostly we just once he started crawling, we would block off the living room with furniture, and that was his play area.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're right, though. It does make it seem like he's a sensory seeker, mm-hmm. which maybe he is in a sense, mm-hmm. but he's very self-regulated.
Yeah, and babies are designed to explore and move and to have those new experiences. And if that means new movement experiences, new climbing, new jumping, new crawling, no, I think that I just think that's interesting, you know?
I just had a thought too. You know, when you're sitting down, whether it's on the couch or sitting at a desk for a long period of time, and then you stand up and you have to stretch. Mm-hmm. Think about a baby who's in a container for hours at a time, and then you try to put them on the floor, and their body is stiff and cold, mm-hmm. and they don't know how to move because they haven't had enough experience yet. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. We need to give them that movement.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. So anyways, yep. So some more activities. Movement that is outside of a baby swing, that continuous linear swinging from baby swings. Mm-hmm. So things like rocking and bouncing and using a baby carrier, like a baby wearing device, versus putting them in a container to provide more natural vestibular input.
And, you know, swings are great, but you do want to make sure that your baby has full head control before you swing them, and always start slow mm-hmm. with swings first. Oh, yes.
I even like to wait to do swings until the child is sitting up on their own, mm-hmm. unassisted, for a few seconds at a time.
Yeah, totally. But you can always swing with your baby. You can put your baby in your lap while mm-hmm. you swing and give them that same movement.
Totally. Okay, tummy time on the therapy ball, laying over the therapy ball on their back, getting their head into those different positions is going to be fantastic to not only help with things like the diaper change and car rides, but just working on integrating that vestibular system.
And then, you know, kind of the same thing with the swing. Once the baby has head control and is able to sit upright, you can position your baby on sitting on the ball and do some bouncing.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that is all for the vestibular system. Let's do the last one that we have here today, which is the oral system or the gustatory system.
Mm-hmm. This is going to go along with oral motor and taste, I feel like.
Even olfactory, the sense of smell. I mean, they're all super connected. You can't eat a food without smelling it.
So true. So from birth to 3 months, oral motor input is calming to a baby. You think about the sucking that they do to feed, and that sucking is very calming.
Mm-hmm. Baby has reflexes to protect their airway. They also have a rooting reflex, which is stimulation to the side of their cheek. They're going to turn their head, and they're going to try to eat.
That was a great example. I was picturing it in my head while you were doing it.
Oh, great.
And then at this age, they also have the suck, swallow, breathe reflex, which aids them in feeding.
Yep. So from 3 to 6 months, baby will bring their hands and objects to their mouth to chew on them, teeth, suck on them, whatever they want to do.
Now, this is really important because this is a big developmental milestone of how babies learn about objects in their environment. This is premature red flag, but if your baby is not mouthing objects, that's a sign that there could be some sensory challenges.
Mm-hmm. they might become more interested in food that others are eating around this age as well.
And then they might start eating purees. We always want to make sure that your baby has full head control, full trunk control. They're able to sit up on their own before we start giving them solids, but some babies are ready by 6 months.
Mm-hmm. From 6 to 12 months, we're going to see the baby eating a variety of flavors and textures, and they should gag to protect their airway when they have new flavors and new textures in their mouth.
This is huge. Gagging is a normal part of baby development.
Even though it's scary as shit.
Yeah, and I think I remember with Logan, mm-hmm. you know, we had to really differentiate gagging from choking mm-hmm. because there is a big difference. Mm-hmm. And so when a child gags, you don't want to have a big reaction versus if they're actually choking, go ahead and have a big reaction. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it is important to maybe do a little research to understand the differences.
Yep. Also at 6 to 12 months, they're going to begin drinking from an open cup. And then transitioning to a straw cup and working on both of those skills.
Yeah. So red flags, like I said a little bit ago, they're not mouthing items. They're not mouthing their hands.
They continue to gag or vomit with solids after continuous trials. The gagging is expected with novel tastes and textures, but they should get used to it with more trials and more practice.
Mm-hmm. I think also some more red flags from this area is going to be, you know, not wanting to get messy, not wanting to try new foods, goes right along with the tactile system. Yeah.
Yeah. This age, the 6 to 12 month age, babies should be trying everything mm-hmm. and they should be open to trying everything. It isn't until after that, that we start to see some like, not, I don't want to say pickiness. I don't think we need to define our kids as picky eaters. I think we need to realize that they're changing and they're learning what they enjoy and what they don't.
Yeah, and I don't know if we've talked about this in a previous episode. We might have, but there is a pretty normal, typical response with young children, with toddlers, where they may seem picky, and it really is just related to the fact that they're asserting their independence, mm-hmm. and it's normal for that age.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Okay, let's talk about some activities from the time you bring babe home. Get inside of their mouth with your fingers. You know, as they get a little bit older, use some vibration like the Z Vibe. Just work on letting them realize that it's okay to have these novel textures and things in their mouth and kind of help prepare them for the next milestones, the next sensory milestones to come.
Yeah. You can make popsicles out of formula or breast milk, whatever they're eating, and that can be a new oral motor experience.
Yeah. Long teethers that they can gnaw on and practice chewing are really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Blowing bubbles and blowing through straws. This is a great game for those older babies, you know, as they're getting closer to that 12-month age.
Imitating silly faces and exaggerating those mouth movements while talking and singing and making faces. That's super fun and helpful for oral motor development, like sticking out your tongue or pushing your tongue to your cheek or blowing raspberries, fun things like that.
Yeah, just as much as, you know, movement with your mouth as you can that they're going to be able to imitate and make it into a game.
Yep. Of course, if you have concerns about any of these things that we talked about, anything else that you have, always talk with your pediatrician. You know, ask for an OT referral if you really feel the need, if you want to rule it out. We always say, you know, early intervention is key. Mm-hmm. The earlier, you know, the research says that. It's not just us.
That's so true.
You know.
That's so true. I think, you know, being able to give your baby as much sensory experiences as possible is just going to be so beneficial as they grow older. Mm-hmm. Because I think new sensory experiences can be scary at first. And the older you get, the more likely you are to be afraid. You know, when you think mm-hmm. about us as adults, we know the consequences that could happen from like jumping out of a plane. Mm-hmm. So we're probably less likely to do it than someone who's younger and maybe can't visualize the potential consequences. But that's a really weird example.
I was thinking of like a roller coaster.
Oh, yeah, that too, sure.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Anyways.
Anyways. This was kind of a longer episode.
It was. If you have questions, don't hesitate to reach out. If you loved this episode and it was helpful for you, then take a screenshot and share it on social media at All Things Sensory Podcast. And we'd love to know your thoughts. And if you have questions, we're here for you.
All right, you guys, we will talk to you next week.
Okay, bye. Thank you so much for listening to All Things Sensory by Harkla. If you want more information on anything we mentioned in the show, head over to harkla.co/podcast to get all of the show notes.
We always have the show notes and links, plus full transcripts to make following along as easy as possible for everyone. If you have follow-up questions, the best place to ask those is in the comments on the show notes or message us on our Instagram account, which is @harkla_family. If you just search Harkla, you'll find us.
Like we mentioned before, our podcast listeners get 10% off their first order at Harkla, whether it's for one of our digital courses, one of our sensory swings. The discount code SENSORY will save you 10%. That code is SENSORY. Head over to harkla.co/sensory to use that code right now so you don't forget.
We're so excited to work together to help create confident kids all over the world and work towards a happier, healthier life.
All right, we'll talk to you guys next week. Just a friendly reminder, this is general information related to occupational therapy, pediatrics, and sensory integration. We do not know you or your child, therefore we do not know any specific needs. Therefore, you should always refer back to your pediatrician and occupational therapist for more information.